letting you be in our lives. We pray for the children of this church that you would enter their hearts and be with them, and also with Pastor Josh as he gives our sermon today and shares just your word with us. We ask this in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. Children can be dismissed. There's something about cool rain. It always kind of takes me to my mission trip that I went to in Kenya in 2007. I remember there was this one day that we had to set up, and we didn't sleep inside of a home or a building, but we you know, slept in these tents. And I still remember there was this one night where, you know, it kind of just started to rain a little bit. It was a nice, cool rain. And in the morning, you know, some of the water had kind of gotten in a little bit. But just kind of like feeling that light rain on you and the cool weather, there's just something about it that just feels so refreshing. And I think that's, you know, that's what I think about when we get into the Word of God. You know, it's a time of refreshing. At least that's what it ought to be. I think even when we are kind of forced to take a look at our lives and how we're doing spiritually, when we know the God that loves us, when we know the God who we have just sung songs of truth about, even in the darkest of times, when we hear the truth of God, when we remember who we are in His eyes as His beloved children, as those who have been saved by His grace, then we ought to be refreshed, renewed, kind of having a new sense, a renewed sense of purpose to live for the Lord even more. And so I hope that's how you feel when we go through the Word of God together. As we've been looking through the book of James, there have been a lot of real truth and challenges to reflect on our lives, to see, are we really living out the faith that we profess? And today is no different. We're going to continue on in the book of James. We're going to look at chapter 4, just the first few verses. And I don't want to say that this is the most important thing that you will learn, but things that we've been talking about always has been not about just outward behavior, but I make sure to emphasize that it's always about the heart. What is your heart set upon? What is the greatest desire in your life? Because how you live your life will follow that desire. And James talks about that a little bit today. And we know that it's not easy always to follow God perfectly. Of course, all of us will stumble, all of us will fall in different ways. And yet God challenges us and gives to us the command to do all things that He has called us to do. Today we're going to talk about the heart battle, okay? The heart battle. And I'm going to get into it a little bit more, what that means. But let's go ahead and take a look at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. This is the Word of God. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it causes us to be face to face with the reality of our own hearts. God, as we go through this passage together, I pray that you would open up our minds, that you would open up our hearts to see deeply just how broken we can be, to see how deeply just how apart from you we can try to live. But God, even more so, deeply would you show us your grace that is sufficient for us. And through that grace, would you challenge us to live a life that glorifies you? Be with us, Lord. Be with me as I preach your word. Be with our church. May we grow in our understanding of you through this word. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I know we have some teachers in our church, and back when I was teaching very young children, there's all kinds of stories that I could share about. As I look back and reflect on my time there, it's a kind of like almost, I see that and I kind of see it as cute because they're children, but then I kind of extrapolate that over time and I'm like, if they were adults and it was the same situation, it wouldn't be as cute anymore. I remember one time, many times, several times where two kids would be fighting with each other. And when, you know, when I go over and say, okay, what happened? Immediately one child would say, he was being mean to me. And the other person would defend themselves very vigorously and say, no, he was mean to me first. And it'd go back and forth. There's finger pointing. It wasn't me. It was him. He did this. No, no, he did this. No, no, it was. And so on and so on. And so you see, in conflict, you know, they were ready to defend themselves and to point outward and say, hey, look, this is why I'm upset. This is why there's a conflict. It's that guy. It's her. It's him. I started thinking about that because today's passage mentions quarrels and fights amongst us. And it says, what causes that? Why do we have fights and quarrels among us? I started thinking about that. And again, they're so cute. They're little kids. And so you kind of smile even when you see them. Oh, that's so cute. They're, you know, talking who was mean to who and things like that. But again, when we kind of see the core of what is happening, actually, I should be praying for those kids more. Because what it reveals actually is something that we, if we're honest with ourselves, struggle with when there is time of conflict. We all have faced conflict with other people in our lives. It may be with a family member, a significant other, a stranger, a classmate, a coworker. And maybe they're doing something that annoys us or something that we don't like. And if we were to ask, what happened? Why do you have conflict with this person? Very easily, I'm sure we could point to the things that they do that get on our nerves, the things that they said that were offensive, and this and that, and all the other things that they did wrongly towards you. And I think that's the problem, is that oftentimes when there is a conflict, our focus becomes the other person. What is it that they did to cause the conflict? What is it that they have done to make you upset, which resulted in conflict? And I wonder if we aren't, even as believers at times, much like those little kids in my class. We're quick to point outward. We're quick to say, it was him, it was her, it was because they did that, it was because they did this. And what I believe God wants us to see so clearly is that that is not what we are called to do as Christians. But that there is something happening in our hearts, in our own hearts, when there is conflict. There's something that is happening in our own hearts, and we ought not to look outwardly always for fault. Now, I'm not saying that objectively people don't do wrong things towards us that result in conflict, but in the way that we go about dealing with conflict, we have to learn to see something. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is this idea that there is a battle inside of our hearts, and that as believers and the body of Christ, we have to stop pointing fingers outward when we find ourselves in conflict and start realizing the true reason for the fights and conflicts in our lives inwardly in our own hearts. And it may not be something that we want to hear or that we readily listen to, that it's not them, it's not him or her, but it's you. But I believe God wants us to hear this message today. The real reason why we have conflict. And then also the resolution. How can we resolve these conflicts biblically? How do we view these conflicts biblically? So, first thing I want us to do here is, the first point is this, recognize that there is a heart battle, okay? So recognize the heart battle. This is what verse 1 says. It says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So he's basically saying, why are you guys fighting? What is the conflict? What is happening, my brothers and sisters in Christ? He doesn't say, what did someone do to you or what was the wrong that you were dealt? Instead, he says, isn't it the passions that are at war within you? Isn't it the desires of your heart that are at war within you? So you see, when there's conflict outward, what that actually represents and shows is that there's some kind of conflict inward. And what James is trying to say is that there is a heart battle in the midst of every conflict. And it's not between you and the other person. It's actually about passions that are warring within your own heart. There's rival desires. There's dual desires at hand in our lives. And as I've had the privilege of counseling people in relationships, in marriages, in friendships, you know, it really does become so easy to see that people in conflict really do look so much outwardly. If you could only hear her nagging, you would understand. If you could only hear what they said behind my back, then you would know and understand why we're in this conflict. And again, I'm not saying that objectively there is not wrong that could be done towards you. But in the way that you respond, in the way that you react, I promise you, there's this heart battle that's going on inside of you. And what is that heart battle? What is he actually talking about? What are these passions that are at war within us? Well, here's something that we all have to be aware of. When we are Christians, when we become a believer of Jesus Christ, God gives to us a new nature. When we read in Colossians 3 that we are a new creation in Christ, that is not just symbolically saying, oh, well, hey, there's like something new going on in you. No, no, no. You are a new creation in Christ. And yet, until we see Jesus Christ face to face again or Jesus returns, we will still have brokenness in us. So as God sees us, he sees us as perfect, forgiven children of God. But obviously, in the way that we live, there's going to be times where still that old nature that we once had is going to pop its ugly head. So those are the dual desires that are at war within us. There's the sinful nature, which is all about self. Remember, we talked about a wisdom that glorifies God in the previous passage. But too often, we find ourselves, even as Christians, wanting for me, what is best for me. And that is your old nature, your sinful nature, where everything that you do and everything that is done or even said is for your own benefit. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are forgiven of your sins once and for all, but he also gives to us a new nature as a new creation, and that is the Holy Spirit within us that gives us a spirit nature. Now, the spirit nature is what gives us the desire to glorify God. It's what gives us a desire that is not something we could conjure up on our own, but again, by the grace of God, through Christ who came, who lived the perfect life, died on the cross, and rose again. And what did he promise us? He promised us the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And so for those of us who are genuinely believers of Jesus Christ, we now have a new nature. By God's grace, we can actually make decisions that glorify him, but we still have those dual desires. And maybe if you think about it right now, there's plenty of times where those kinds of things kind of, you see how it interacts. We have to learn to reflect on our hearts. We have to learn to acknowledge that there actually is a heart battle. If we're always pointing outward and saying, it's that person, we fail to see what's going on here in us. What is it in the conflict? What is it that you wanted for yourself so badly that you're willing to fight over it with this person? What is it that you didn't get that you wanted for yourself within this relationship? What is your sinful desire that was not met? That's the battle. And we have to learn to ask God to grow us in our desire for Him and His grace. God, remind me that I am a new creation, that I have Your nature, the Spirit nature within me, so that I can show grace, so that I can show love, even when I'm feeling wronged, even when I truly have been wronged. How will I respond? Recognize that there is a heart battle. And what that means is this. Let's say, objectively, someone were to say in a conflict, you are 80% in the wrong, and the other person is only 20% in the wrong. Let's say you were able to do that somehow, objectively. And I think some people actually think like that, like, oh man, that person is definitely more wrong in this situation than I am. Who here has thought like that before? Right? And then you're kind of like, yeah, that's why I'm angry, duh. But recognizing the heart battle and going to God means this. Even if you have only 10% of the wrong, objectively, somehow, if you could do that, and the other person has 90% of the wrong, that you don't point at their 90% and say, see, look at all the things that you did that caused this conflict. Instead, what you do is you take your 10% and you bring that before God and you say, God, I have done wrong. Or God, there is some kind of selfish desire in me that was not met, and so I'm responding in this way, in this conflict, and you own that 10%, and you bring it before God as your 100%. You see, it's about your heart. What's the battle in your heart? Learning how to take that to God. That's what we have to learn to do. If we're not doing that, if we're not depending on God, if we're not recognizing the heart battle, our natural leaning and tendency will simply be, hey, it's not my fault. It's more that person than me. It's more them. It's not me. It's him. It's not me. It's her. It's not me. No, no. God says there's a heart battle. Recognize it. And the second point is this. Actively fight in the heart battle. You see, when you're aware of the battle first, I mean, so it's a good thing, right? You see the progression here. You have to recognize that there's a battle. I mean, can you just imagine going through life and not knowing that there's a battle to be fought? And you just kind of go through life. But when you recognize that there is a heart battle within you, that there's warring desires and passions within you, then you have to make a conscious decision, I am going to fight in this battle. And hopefully you're fighting on the side of good, right? To grow in your spirit nature and not your sinful nature. But you can kind of do that. You have a choice, really, in all things, whether you're going to grow in your spirit nature or you're going to grow in your sinful nature. When you just give in to temptation and just do what you want to do without thinking about what glorifies God, guess what? You're actually fighting on the wrong side. So actively fight in the heart battle. That's the second point. Actively fight in the heart battle. This is what verse 2 says. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Now, James likes to speak in extremes at times, it seems, right? Like, look, you desire and you do not have, so you murder? Whoa. You know, it's like you could have said maybe steal, right? I mean, it's like at least that's not murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Now, what is James pointing out here? Again, he uses this idea of desire, right? Now, what is the desire that leads to quarreling? What is the desire that leads to fighting? What is the desire that leads to murder? These types of desires are things, again, that are self-glorifying desires. Sinful desires, things that you just want to feed your own glory. You know why I say that? Because when there's a heart battle and it's between your desire to glorify yourself and to get for yourself, or your desire instead to glorify God, when you're only thinking about what's in it for me, what can I get out of it, and God's not in the picture, then of course you're willing to go through any length, fight, kill, so that you get what you want. Because at the end of the day, that's what the world wants to teach us. Whatever you want, you just do whatever it takes, you go out and get it. Whatever drives your pleasure, whatever things might temporarily satisfy you. You see, those are the things that cause you to quarrel and fight and kill. That's what self-glory leads to. But to grow in the Lord, to fight actively in the heart battle, means in every decision, in every situation, in every possible conflict, we ask the question first, not what has been done to me, what's in it for me, what will I get out of this, what will I not get out of this. Instead, we say, God, what will glorify you? What can I do in the midst of this conflict that will shine your grace, shine your light? Who here thinks like that? It's not natural. It's supernatural to think like that. Only by God's grace through the Holy Spirit can someone who's in the midst of a crazy fight with someone else or conflict stop and actually reflect and say, God, in the midst of this, how can I glorify you? But that's what it means to actively fight. I believe that as we learn to choose what glorifies God, that's how we mature in our faith. It means learning to seek your satisfaction, your ultimate satisfaction, your greatest desire can only be met by Christ Jesus. That's what it means to actively fight. It means to immerse yourself in the Word of God. It means to be in prayer constantly, because we want to know what it means to be ultimately satisfied, not in the things of this world, because when we fight for the things of this world, that's what we're doing. We're fighting. We're quarreling. But when we say, God, you are all that I need. You see, your old nature, your sinful nature says, I need this to be satisfied. I need that to be satisfied. I need a bigger house. I need a better car. I need a better spouse. I don't know what it might be. I need those things to be satisfied. But the new nature that God gives to us says, I already have all I need in Christ. And so if you know true satisfaction in Christ, then these types of desires, when they rear their ugly head, we say, no. My greatest desire, God, is to glorify you. Give me the strength to choose in that way. That's actively fighting. So let's learn to fight. Be conscious in every choice, in every decision. You know, sometimes we only think about God and His glory when it's almost like we think about bigger scale things. And we think, okay, what career we choose or a professional, what we're going to do with the rest of our lives. Okay, those are the things that I have to think about that glorify God. But James has been talking constantly about everyday living. When you're hanging out with your kids, when you're alone with your spouse, significant other, do you glorify God in the choices that you make? When you're at work, do you glorify God with the choices that you make? And you have to be conscious. There has to be a fight, a decision to say, I'm going to push back on my own selfish desires, whatever that may be, to gain in this world. And instead, I'm going to say, God, I want to do what glorifies you. The last thing is this. Pray throughout the heart battle. Pray throughout the heart battle. This is what verse 3 says. So tail part of verse 2 to 3. It says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So this idea of asking, who are you asking? You're going to God. That's what asking is. And what is asking God of things? That is prayer. Now, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ and you profess to be a believer and have faith in him, I want you to look on your prayer life. Look back on this past week. What has your prayer life looked like? Is there any signs of life? It's like, boop. Boop. Right? I mean, or is it boop, boop? You know, is there a healthy pulse in your prayer life? Hopefully it's not beep, okay? You laugh, but seriously, right? I hope it's not that. Because we need to be in prayer constantly. I mean, that's part of the battle. That's part of the arsenal that God has given to us. That we can go to him at all times. And when we recognize his heart battle, God, I don't want the things of this world more than you. I don't want to keep making decisions that are just for me, for my own gain, for my own pleasure, for my own plans. I want to live for you, God. I mean, who has cried that out? Because when you live for God, when you know what he has done on your behalf, when you know that you've been forgiven once and for all, where you once deserved death and condemnation, but now you have life, eternal life, and his grace, and eternal life with him, how much more should we be crying out, God, please grow my desire for you so that in everything that I do and say, that you will be given the glory. That even in the midst of conflict, the hardest conflicts that I might have with family or friends or whoever it might be, that they would somehow, even in the midst of conflict, see that there's something different about how I am responding because I'm fighting the battle in my heart. That what I want to gain selfishly out of this to show that I've won, right? Isn't that sometimes the ultimate goal that we seek in conflict? I just want to prove that I was right. I just want to prove that you were wrong. I just want to prove that I was the one who was okay in all this, and you are the one who's the problem. And God says that is not how we respond as believers. That does not show the grace or the love of God. Now, some people, they hear that and they say, oh, man, so Pastor Josh, what are you saying? We're just going to be pushovers? So you're saying, what, Pastor Josh, anytime we have a conflict, then I don't get to say my own thing and say my own piece? Come on, what is that? I have feelings too. Yes, of course. Bring them before God. He hears you. He'll listen. He'll give you peace. And then that might not mean that you just go and share all your feelings about everything with the person. But to God, yes, you go to him constantly in prayer. How you're feeling, the anger that's boiling, the hurt that you've received, you bring it before God and allow him to speak into it with his grace and with his love. And you see, even in that, you're fighting the battle. You're growing the desire that in the midst of conflict, you're going to God. And he's glorified in that. He's glorified in that. Talking about prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Familiar passage for most of us here. When Jesus talks about how we ought to pray, it says, your kingdom come, your will be You see, there's this constant teaching, and we need to hear it constantly because it's very easy for us to forget. It's not about you. You hear that? You're not the most important person in the story. It's not about you. Your life, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, is not about how Jesus is going to make you great. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, it's not about how Jesus is going to give you everything that you ever wanted in this world. You see, you're not the main character in the story. God is. He's the one that we're living for. And yes, God will, along with Christ, his only son, he will give us all the things that we need. But our lives are not about us. It's about how can we glorify God and share the love of God with those around us. And we certainly cannot do that when we are not praying. We certainly cannot do that when we are engaging in conflict as the world does and saying, what's in it for me? It's all about me. What I have, me, 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 me. So God says, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's how we ought to pray, but also how we must live. Not for our own purposes, but for his purposes. Not for our own selfish desires, but the desires of God, what he wants for us to do with our lives. And you know, again, there's this battle because sometimes we think that choosing God and following him and having desire for God, somehow we think, oh man, if I follow God and his desires, that means none of my own desires are going to get met. You guys hear what I'm saying? Sometimes we think, oh my gosh, if I just obey God and follow him, then man, he's going to, you know, maybe for those of us who are single, he's going to give me a spouse that I really am not attracted to, I don't want. Oh man, following God means God's going to just give me all these things that I don't really want. Okay, it's not like that. Okay? Trust me, I wanted a beautiful wife. I have a very beautiful wife. Okay? God does give. Even the things that might be selfishly in your heart as well at times. That's his grace. But we don't live for those things. That is not what drives us. It ought not to be. And I had to pray a lot about things like that. Remember, I was single for 29 years. And I pray, God, in my will, my way, 29, I thought I'd be married at 25 with a family. And I know you're probably thinking, well, that's only like 4 more years later, 5 more. But to me, every month was an eternity. Every day. Like, Lord, please, why? You see my desires. But it's not about me. It cannot be about me. It cannot be about you. And even in our church, it has to always be about what glorifies God on every level. Let's learn how to do that together. Let's learn how to recognize the heart battle. Let's learn how to actively fight in the heart battle. And let's learn to pray. Pray continuously. Keep going before God. Ask him, change me, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to be able to say with all my heart, your kingdom come, your will be done. I want to trust in you, depend on you. And that is what true repentance really is. Then we turn away from our selfish desires and say, God, you are my desire. You are the one who gives me all that I need in Christ. Help me to make decisions to choose to live for you. Maybe there are some of us here who are in conflict right now. Maybe it's with your family members. Maybe it's with a friend. Maybe it's with your husband or your wife. Do you recognize that there is a heart battle going on? Learn to assess things through a biblical perspective, through this picture of this battle and saying, God, I want to glorify you more than I want to be glorified. You can choose to glorify God or you can choose to glorify yourself. But we need God's help. We need his grace to live for him, to actively fight in the heart battle. Let's pray together. Just pray for a moment. Just respond just for a moment in prayer. And if you really are in the midst of a conflict with someone, and maybe even particularly with a fellow believer, or even if it's with an unbeliever, be reflective and ask yourself the question, have I been in this conflict trying to glorify God? Or have I in this conflict been trying to glorify myself, to get for myself, to prove myself, to make the other person feel the wrong or to feel the pain that was incurred by you? God wants you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to battle and to choose what glorifies God. For those of us here who are not yet believers of Jesus Christ, what is it that you are living for? God wants you to know who he is. He wants you to be able to desire things, the original things that God meant for humanity to desire, is a walk with him, to know him deeply. And so that invitation is always open to you. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, if you would turn to him in repentance, he will receive you. If you turn away from your sinfulness and say, God, I want to live for you. I know that you made it possible through Christ, his death and resurrection, that he will receive you. So just take a moment to pray, and then I'll close us. Such a battle in our hearts, and at times it is hard for us to see. We get busy with life, and when we're not keeping our eyes on you, it's so easy to become so self-involved, as if everything in this world revolves around us and what we want and what we desire, perhaps selfishly for ourselves. But God, I pray that we would always learn as believers to just take a step back and to reflect on our hearts, and to ask of you this question, God, is there any way in me that is living more for myself than for you, God? And God, if the answer is yes, as often as it will be, God, would you renew us with a reminder that your grace is sufficient? Would you renew us with the reminder that you never leave us nor forsake us? And would you help us to be people who are actively fighting to glorify you over ourselves? And may you help us to mature as believers, that we learn to be led by your word and by the spirit nature more than the temptations that our sinful nature brings. And God, we look forward to the time when you will come back, or that we will see you face to face, when we will not have this sinful nature any longer, and that we will be able to live for you truly as we were created to do, giving you all the glory in all the things that we do. We thank you so much. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.